received a commission from the Lord to make this a month of intercessory prayer and blessing, just remembering to bless and speak blessings over our fellow believers in this congregation and in those that are watching. And I'm going to be doing that over you. And I appreciate, I've got a mailing list, I've got a giving list. The givers are not more loved than everybody else, but I can call out names because I see those names, and I appreciate, and I'm talking about givers from the outside, and of course I know all our people here, but it gives me an opportunity to call out blessings over you, speak blessings, and pray, and just let me just encourage you. You know, how can I express this? Sock it away. What does that mean? Well, the old timers used to say, put something in a sock for a rainy day. And of course, nobody puts anything in a sock or can or buries it in the backyard or anymore, I don't guess. If you do, let me know and I'll get a metal detector. But if you've got, maybe you've got a routine. Routines are wonderful. But if you've got an extra 20 minutes, some or 30 minutes, or 2 hours, or an hour, go get along with God. Spend some time in this month. And what I heard from the Lord was, I'm just telling you, he said, I just want you to prove me and ask the people to prove me, see what happens. I don't know what that means. I'm not saying that we break out in a full-blown revival, but I believe something's going to happen into your life personally and to the people that you're blessing and the people that we're praying for. So it's like God put himself to a test and said, see what happens. So we're going to see what happens and sock away some time. Put it in let's see what happens. If you've got an extra time, ask the Lord for extra time and spend that time praying and worshiping and calling on God and blessing others. Hallelujah. It's a time to really be faithful. Really be faithful. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Hallelujah. I will tell you that he talks to me like that I am leading something beyond anything that I see in the natural. And I don't get the impression by the more I hang around him, if you want to put it that way, that he's just trying to build me up. What are you saying, Pastor? We've got an incredible future. This has been a quick 30 years. I'm excited about the next 30. Because I think the next 30 is accelerated. You know, once the acceleration starts, you won't even believe. You'll just be like mesmerized and say, how did it happen so quickly? Now, we're not after a big church and a big group of people for popularity's sake. But when I close my eyes in the spirit, what I see is something incredible, really incredible. And it's for us. It's given to us. It's one, I believe, and I'm just not, I'm speaking as humbly as I possibly can under what I feel, is that we are a hub. I like this guy's looking at me like, come on, Pastor, give it to us. I'm ready to go get it right now. I appreciate that. We're a fire starter, and there may be some people in churches and places that get going from a result of what we what we receive in the Spirit, and that's okay. I just wish every church around us for 100 miles gets to be in the thousands before he comes. But I know we are going to have our share, and so I'm thankful of that. By the way, I just thought of this. You know, the pastor from the Methodist Church was here during Jim Martin's ministry, and a Haitian pastor. What is my Lord? I know this is it kind of sounds like this, my Lord Montreal or something like that, I think. But he called me and he asked me to come and preach again the sunrise service over at his church. So I did that last year, and I'll give you information that's coming up. You know, Easter is right here in this month. So maybe you'd like to come over. And all I can get from this guy is that from what he was here that night, he really wants the power of the Holy Spirit. I got to respect any pastor that is in an organization and says, no, we're not going to follow that anymore. Respectfully, we're leaving because you're not following the word of God and the righteousness of the Holy Scriptures. So I appreciate what they have done. And so I'll be preaching over there the Sunday of, I think Easter's the last day almost of 31st or 30th, whatever that is. So, hallelujah. So you're going to a church. Don't stretch it or lie to people and tell them, yeah, we got thousands. Tell them thousands are about to be coming to our church. And we're headed that way. I don't know where the money will come from. I promise I'll never pressure anybody. Nobody will ever be asked behind closed doors to give anything. And but it's going to come when it's needed. And it's going to come in bunches. And it's going to come in a way that the people that have it, it won't take away from anything they need. It won't be a necessity that takes away. But it's going to build, it's going to buy the property and build, you know, the church. We could build about a 300-person, I think. Somebody did an architectural rendition here on this property, but we would be closed in. It just really closes us in. We'd have to tear this church down for parking area, but that's okay. We could graduate from there to something else when the fullness of revival is taking place. But all of this is just, and you say, well, Pastor, most important is the absolute, the Spirit. And that's what we're talking about tonight, is staying in the Spirit. Stretch your faith this way and help me. Let me just receive from the Lord and receive from you. Father, I thank you for all those that are watching and all my dear friends and family that are here tonight that lift up their pastor, and I lift up them. And I just pray for their marriages and their homes, for their bodies, for their finances, for their emotions, Lord, that they will be touched, healed, revitalized, come into fullness, Lord, that they'll wake up happy and joyful in the middle of the night, and in the mornings they'll be refreshed, and the grace of God will rest upon us, get us ready for this last run, and it may be a run of 30 years, but get us ready for something that we've never seen before, no place that we've ever been or experienced before. But we're so happy to be alive right now. And we're thankful that you're going to restore bodies and get arthritis out of bodies, get sickness out of bodies, get disease out of bodies, because these bodies are going to need to be running at full capacity for this final work that we're going to do. And we thank you for it, Father. We receive also from your word tonight, And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know how long we'll be, but I know what we're supposed to start with. And a service doesn't have to be extremely long to get in what he wants. I know we'll be out, as far as I know, by our usual time on Wednesday nights. If you don't get our monthly letters, please just email us at our website and just say, I want a monthly letter sent to me. They're free of charge. And send us your email address. Write us if you don't have an email. Write us. And we will send you a written one on paper. Most everybody's getting an emailed one. You should have one in your inbox today, and that's where we want to start tonight. I'm counting on you probably reading this in the next few days, but the Lord wanted me to read it to you tonight because it's the thing that's on his heart the most right now for us, and that is to become very, very laser-focused, very, very laser-focused. And that's lesson title to this particular letter. And if, like I said, you may find this in your inbox, you can just listen to me read this. If you want to follow along, that's fine. I don't think it's been posted yet on the website, but all the people that have signed up for our monthly letters, you should have one this afternoon. It was sent out. The title to this March letter is Straightened in Our Call, And, of course, we personalize all these letters, but I'm going to say, dear reader, to generalize it for everyone. Jesus said something very peculiar in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 49 and 50, and I'll just read these, and you can just listen, and meditate these things. In 49, he said, I come to send fire on the earth. And what will I, if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straightened till it be accomplished? Now, the word straightened here is S-T-R-A-I-T-E-N-E-D. Jesus used the word straightened to describe his mentality, disposition regarding the assignment that God had given him. Notice that he does not use the word spelled straightened. And those of you that are listening and not reading, I'll give you the spelling for what I'm trying to convey. He doesn't use the word straightened as in S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T-E-N-E-D, as in something being made straight like a line. Rather, he uses the word that is spelled S-T-R-A-I-T-E-N-E-D, which means something totally different. The word straightened, just mentioned, in the English language means to make straight or narrow, to hem in or confine, to restrict in freedom or scope. But probably more important is the original. These pages stick together. Definition out of the Greek. The Greek word Seneco defines the word straightened as to hold together, compress, arrest, compel, constrain, or preoccupy. These are just some of the words that define this particular word. The baptism that Jesus referred to when he spoke these words was in regards to his assignment of giving his life for the redemption of mankind. Using this particular definition of the word straightened, it would not be out of context to paraphrase what Jesus said like this: I have an assignment from God that must be accomplished, and I am totally preoccupied and narrowly focused with that assignment until it is accomplished. One of the favorite phrases that God is using among the camp of the revivalist in these days is the phrase laser focused. This phrase comes from an understanding of how defining or restrictive a laser beam is when focused on an object, against an object. To use this phrase in the context of this verse, we could also say that Jesus was saying, I have an assignment from my Father, and I'm totally laser focused until it is completed. Now, in all caps, I wrote this: the closer he, Jesus, got to the end of his ministry, the more laser focused he became. And it came to, or let me give you a verse of scripture here, Luke 9, verses 51 through 53. And it says this: and it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. The Samaritans refused to receive Jesus into their city to give him lodging and provisions. The reason why they rejected him is because he had, in essence, set his face towards Jerusalem. In other words, he had no plans to stay in Samaria, but was only passing through. He had a total determination towards his assignment. The prophetic word given from God to the hearing, and I would say hearing in quotation marks, today is to become straightened in our call. Remember the original, straightened, focused, narrowly focused. God is asking us to allow him to rearrange our schedules, because we're entering into the final phase, in preparation for the outpouring of his Spirit. The schedules, allowances, and even, now get this, even directives of the past by the Holy Spirit are being changed in this final phase to give birth to something never seen or experienced before. The acceptable is quickly evolving into the unacceptable. It is no longer acceptable under this present grace to make appointments, accept invitations, or to do outside ministry without first consulting the inward leadership of the Holy Spirit. The closer that the church gets to God's perfect plan for revival, the more things change to meet that perfect plan. God does not change. We know that. But his plans to fulfill his will often change from what he expects of us and from how he once led us in the past. And there's no better example than the above-mentioned scripture in Luke. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus was straightened, the S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T-E-D, R-A-I-T-E-N-E-D, in his focus in going towards Jerusalem. He was on an assignment from God, and that assignment narrowed his focus. There were no stops to be made in Samaria, although in John chapter 4, the word tells us that his assignment at that time was to go through Samaria. John chapter 4, you know, remember the woman at the well? Verse 3 and 4 says, and he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. At this earlier point in Jesus' ministry, the Holy Spirit had him go, had him not only go to Samaria, but actually spend some days there ministering and evangelizing the people. But John chapter 4 is in the first year of his three-year ministry. Luke chapter 9 is in the third year and final phase of Jesus' ministry according to chronology study. And I did that study. I did it for you. I looked up the timeline when all this took place. What's the difference? Jesus was in a strait, S-T-R-A-I-T, concerning his assignment. Everything else had changed. No matter what mattered at the time, at that time was only the thing that were laser focused, or the things that were laser focused towards completing his assignment. Samaria was once the assignment of God, but now it had to be circumvented, another go around, not now, for something far greater, so that all men could be saved. Now, in caps again, all caps again, the closer we get, the narrowly focused people. I know I'm not talking to everybody that's narrowly focused. I know I'm not talking to everybody that's watching that's narrowly focused. We have a church that I thank God for everybody that darkens the door and comes in. I realize that maybe half, I don't know what the number is, but that not everybody that comes here. There is a group that comes here that is part of hearing this and doing this. I don't know, and I don't try to count, but I do know this. Not everybody that comes here is engaged, but I want them to be. But I'm talking to, and he's talking to, the narrowly focused people. The closer we get to the end, the once, one time, perfect will of God will often drop down to only the acceptable will of God. What does that mean? In other words, what you were once allowed to do, not anything according to sin, but once you were allowed to have that freedom of doing this, doing that, the more you come into your assignment, many times those things will drop off. They were perfect last year. If you do them now, you're not in sin, but it's just an acceptable place. And that's for us to understand, those that are going forward. Another one of my favorite examples of Jesus being totally laser focused comes in the last week of his ministry. Again, I did this chronology study for you. Look these things up. This is in the last week of his ministry. In John chapter 12, we find this story. Keep in mind, as I said, that this takes place in the last week just before Jesus' crucifixion. Actually, they gave, this is probably on Tuesday of that week, if you want to get real specific. John 12, 20, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came, therefore, to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh to and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus, now look at this, answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man shall serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. These Greeks, or non-Jewish men, you could say, that had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast, the Bible would describe them as proselytes. That's the word. These were Gentiles who were seeking a spiritual inheritance among the Jews. In other words, we'll convert over to Judaism if we can receive eternal life. When they heard the teachings of Jesus, they became incredibly interested. These men then came to Philip asking for an appointment with Jesus. Philip then asked Andrew to help him present the request to Jesus. On the surface, it appears that Jesus is oblivious to their request in his response. We never read where Jesus accepted the invitation for the appointment. Instead, he gave this laser-focused response. Remember, this is Tuesday. Friday, he's going to be crucified. He's in a strait. He's going into the vortex. The vortex, what's that? That's that vacuum. It's that last closing whirlpool that sucks you down, sucks you under. And we are, in a good sense, getting incredibly closer and closer to the vortex of revival, in which atmospheres will change, things will change overnight. Laser focus will be incredibly important, as Jesus identified through his example, and we see this example. We never read where Jesus accepted the invitation for an appointment. Instead, he gave this laser-focused response. John 12:23-24, I'll read that again. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Jesus knew that the Greeks wanted to know if they could have an inheritance in him as well as the Jews. Did all his teachings, this was a question they had, did all his teachings include them as well as everyone else? Jesus was not ignoring them, but could not stop to make an appointment with them. Every minute, every second were valuable in completing his assignment. And that's where we're all going. He rather pinpointed their question and gave them an answer that would be shared to them by Philip and Andrew. He, Jesus, was to become the corn or seed of wheat that was to be planted into the ground through death. And if he was planted, he would bring forth the fruit of salvation for all men. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, they would be included, but Jesus was straitened in his assignment. He could not stop for the appointment. This brings us to where you and I are at today, and where those listening in this church is at, in our assignment from heaven. We are to become more narrowly focused than ever before. This does not mean that we become like Tibetan monks that hide themselves from the rest of the world, but we are to carefully consider every portion of our life going forward under the umbrella of our spiritual assignment in receiving revival. This simply means that we ought to be to carefully inspect the leadership of the Holy Spirit in all matters regarding time. if I accept the invitation, this would be a question to myself under that guise. If I accept the invitation, how will it affect my assignment today? Sometimes the invitation is the assignment. But other times it's just a deterrent to keep you from being laser focused. If I start this project, go on this vacation, or make this appointment, what does it mean in my being straightened in my assignment? In other words, how does everything around me, all invitations, all appointments, all good and bad, how does it affect? Dear friend, you and I have received a special invitation straight from the heart of our Heavenly Father. He has asked us to come away with Him into a place of intimacy and fellowship that will birth the greatest revival this planet has ever known. The harvest from this revival will produce over 1 billion souls for the kingdom. And guess what? We're going to get a bunch of those. Personally, this is one invitation I have accepted and am committed to keeping. And I'm confident that you feel the same way. You and I are straightened in our call until it is completed. And of course, there's a salutation there from myself, thanking all the readers. But amen. Amen. We've never been in this place before. It's a good place, but it's a place of high expectations from our Father. Extremely. This is mature. This is the, you should feel a mark of maturity, high expectations, hold yourself to a higher place. Don't get caught up with where anybody else is at. Hold yourself to that place. Let me read some other scripture, and we're doing really good on time, and we may be out even early, but let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hallelujah. I'm glad I go to this church. I'm glad you do too, those of you who are watching. Hallelujah. And everybody here. Just more on the same thoughts, straightened in our call. And I think this scripture here, although in context, is somewhat different overall, but it's speaking in a type and a shadow of our focus as far as what theirs was, Abraham and all of the patriarchs that are listed. And we're not going to go into all the patriarchs. We're going to kind of center in on verse 8, starting with Abraham, and really mention their mentality of what their assignment was, how they received the assignment going forward from God, and what their mentality was for years after. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go unto a place which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs with him of the same promise. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, he wasn't looking for a literal city. He wasn't going all through the desert saying, there's some kind of city out here, we're going to discover it. It's going to be like, I don't know what it is. First of all, this is a typification of salvation, Christ going forward. All these looking for, and in fact, he, in some place here, he tells us all these they did not obtain. He goes in, he lists all the Old Testament. He said, they did not attain the promise, although they looked for it. Well, the promise was Christ. That's the bottom line. All of everything was speaking of Christ. The city is our inheritance, and the inheritance is bottom line, Christ. But nevertheless, they had an assignment to inherit, and Abraham, although he didn't fully enjoy the fullness of it, his seed would be, in the natural sense, an inheritor of the Jewish nation and the land of Israel, but he had that in the natural, and the natural was speaking of something heavenly. So when he's looking for a city, he's talking about the bottom line is our spiritual inheritance that's speaking to us. But Abraham was looking for an inheritance that God had given him to live out his days and to possess. And it says, through faith, verse 11, also Sarah had herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sands which be by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say, I love this, they that, you know, here we got Old Testament patriarchs, but we can find such identification in this, in our confessions. For they that say such things, what were they saying? We're going to possess the land. This is ours. He went from Abram to Abraham, from fatherless to being the father of a great multitude. And they were Sarai to Sarah, just changing that suffix at the end of her name, changed her speech. It changed everything. We're going in our speech from where we started to present day speaking, saying we're inheriting a great outpouring. This is ours, and this is our common speech, and this is the speech that we have. We're looking at inheritance. I'm telling you, folks, I'm excited. I'm excited. I tell you, I really, really am excited. I tell Candy, praise God. I just, I come out of that closet. Sometimes I'll come over there and sit down beside her on the couch, and I'll say, Candy, he talks to me just as, and here I will say this. I don't want to over spiritualize things and think there's a voice like an outward, me speaking in the room. But to me, it's just like that. I said, Candy, I can hear him just as plain as you talking to me. And you can have that too. And many of you maybe do, but I'm telling you, I say that kind of really in tongue in cheek, just kind of carefully, because I don't want to get notice of myself. I just want to encourage you that the one that comes to me and talks to me like he's in the room, Jesus sits on my couch. I told you that, didn't I, Carl? He sits right there, about 4 foot away. I know it's the Holy Ghost. I know his glorified body's in heaven, but my God, he just talks. But the same one that talks to me is telling me and showing me we're inheritors. We're inheritors, and we've inherited a region around us. And I hope you are getting ready for this, because my God, I'm going to need every one of you. I'm going to need every one of you to be strong and courageous and teach for me. Hallelujah. And my God, that's all I can say. It's here. And they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Well, we're seeking a country which is revival. Yes, Lord. He's talking. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had came out, they might have had opportunity to return. In other words, if they'd have thought about it, they may have, it may have turned them back. But now they desire a better country, that is, and a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I like the way the Amplified reads these verses, or has these verses, and I'll read them. But verse 8 out of the Amplified going forward, it says, urged on by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went forth to a place which was destined, which he was destined to receive as an inheritance, and he went. For the first day you ever walked into this church, whether it was through my ministry, we're all just one, or you came in through, you know, through Homer, through the youth. Some of these guys sitting here came in through his ministry and the youth. From the first day that any of you ever came in here, you were marked. God had a destiny, and your name had hashtag revival next to it. You were supposed to be part of a great outpouring. And if you live long enough, which I believe you will, there'll be stories written about you. Their grandkids will talk about you, your labors in what started in this region. And it's going to be glorious. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be an incredible something to behold. But it says here, which he was destined to receive. And that's going back to it. That's why I just said what I said. You were destined. God had your number. Destined to receive an inheritance. And he went, although he did not know or troubled in his mind about where he was to go, nor was he troubled. Promptly, by faith, he dwelt as a temporary residence in the land which was designated in the promise of God. In the promise of God, though he was like a stranger in a strange country, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs with him of the same promise. And he was waiting expectantly, confidently, looking forward to the city which has fixed and firm foundations. Well, I know that's our city, our particular city, is the kingdom of the fullness of the kingdom of God. It's the revival, whose architect and builder is God. Earth hadn't seen one of these. I hadn't seen one of these, but I'm starting to see it inside. Verse 11, because of faith also Sarah herself received physical power to conceive a child, even when she was long past the age for it, because she considered God, who had given her the promise, to be reliable and trustworthy and true to his word. So from one man, though he was physically as good as dead, there have sprung up descendants whose number is as the stars of heaven and as countless as the innumerable sands of the seashore. It's kind of where we're in a natural, he's talking about something, but our spiritual sons and daughters, you know, once you get into a place, well, we're going to see it. We're going to see it. Once you get in a place, it goes from addition to multiplication. And multiplication is a lot faster than addition. You know, he said that in the first part of Acts, you see, he added to the church daily. And then a little bit later, it said, then he began to multiply the disciples. And a multiplication is a lot faster than addition. So these people all died controlled and sustained by their faith, but not having received the tangible fulfillment of God's promises, only having seen it and greeted it with a great distance of faith, and all the while acknowledging and confessing that they were strangers and temporary residents and exiles upon the earth. Now these people who talk, I like this, I like the way Fide says this, these people and those people who talk as they did show plainly that they are in search of a fatherland, their own country. Well, they talked strange while they were on the planet. We talk a little strange. And they had been thinking, if they had been thinking with homesick remembrance of that country from which they were immigrants, they would have found constant opportunity to return to it. In other words, if they'd have thought about it long enough, I'm homesick for that. No, you know what? It's different. Hallelujah. You're going to be the happiest. You're going to be the happiest you've ever been in this revival. But you're going to be like revivals for limber people in the spirit. And I say, I'm not talking about being limber physically. I don't know how far you can stretch. But revival is, we didn't do it that way. We didn't do it that way. We're going to always be sound in doctrine by the grace of God. I'm not boasting. But revival's not like, well, we didn't do it. No, you bend and you move and you bend and you move according to everything that God brings you into. And you watch what God does. You keep the foundation of truth, but it changes, and we have to change with it. But the truth is that they were yearning for and aspiring to a better and more desirable country, that is, a heavenly one. For that reason, God is not ashamed to be called their God, even to be surnamed their God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for he has prepared a city for them. And I'd say our city is kingdom of God, revival. Let me just close with a few observations. These all can be used as a type and a shadow for our pursuit for revival. Abraham did what? He left the familiar. He left the familiar. You got to leave the familiar sometimes. Okay. And so that's, some things are going to be like, you know, and we're, again, that's not leaving, no change of doctrine, but leaving the familiar. Abraham totally focused on the inheritance. We've got to totally, this is our sermon tonight. This is the message, straightened. We've got to totally, we don't kick anybody to the curb here. Everybody's welcome. But again, I say this with all respect. I don't know who is, and there's no, I don't go into my office and write down names. I think people are on the list of the good list or the naughty list or anything like that. But I know just like in every church, there are people that are really doing this, really pursuing this, and some people are just coming to church. And that's okay. But I'm telling you, for those that are doing this, again, he's asking us to amp this up in grace, in more grace. He gives grace and more grace. Abraham became totally focused on his inheritance. Abraham and Sarah, they did what? They burnt all the bridges. They're like, you know what? There's no need to have any consciousness like going back. There's no going back. You know, and I'm not even talking about going, obviously nobody wants to go back to the world. We understand that. But we're going forward, and it's not 1997 when I first came here. It's not, you know, 2007. We're going forward. Everything was precious building up to that, but everything's going forward. It's Abraham and Sarah burnt all bridges to the past country. Abraham refused to be mindful of going back. Abraham made confessions of their future, and that's what we're saying, and we're doing it and making those. It's not just, you can't just say something. You've got to, the groundswell, the grassroots of, you know, we could come in here and have our say and make something, but if somebody's not doing it in private, in the private prayer closet, it doesn't work. This doesn't work. You can grouch about all this we're going forward all you want to. But if you're not fasting and praying, it doesn't work. But there's enough, and there'll be more added. More people will catch. And look, not only are you sitting here and the ones, well, there's a lot of people watching me, watching us, and they're in agreement. I'm privileged. I wish you all. I'm privileged to get a lot of communication from people that just watch every service and are right here with us, and they're part of. I mean, they're the prayer center of Immokalee. So we're all going forward. Abraham made confession of their faith, of his faith, and we are as well. Abraham was laser focused, or straightened, as the word we've used several times tonight, in his call. I'll just add this, because this is part of being laser focused. Satan hates routines or rhythms, to get in a rhythm. Gets in a rhythm. He hates to see you in the rhythm of prayer, and will do anything and everything he can to disrupt it. I appreciate these guys driving from a distance. I appreciate all you driving. And the Lord has told me to give some latitude because of the demographics of our church, because we're not the church that everybody lives 10 minutes away from. I understand that. So some people really... it's an effort, and it's a God-blessed effort if they make it, you know, three services or two services past Sunday, because many of them are driving. But a lot of people are watching online, and that's what we expect. If you're not working and you're not here, that you're at least with us online and watching. I hope you're not home on a Wednesday night watching some favorite sitcom or something. You know what I'm saying? You ought to be in church with us. But back to my statement, he hates to see you in the rhythm of prayer and will do anything he can to disrupt it. He hates to see you in the rhythm of, I'll say this, and prefaced, you know, and I prefaced by given a lot of latitude. He hates to see people in the rhythm of attending church. He really does. And he'll do anything to disrupt that. And again, people live in distances, but, you know, people will get in a rhythm of just being in every service. But sometimes I hate it. I hate it for their sake when I see sometimes they're taken out for different reasons for a couple of weeks, and it just seems like it breaks their rhythm. And it just sometimes, you know, the flesh just loves to, once the rhythm, it's like, you know, once your rhythm is broken, it just seems like sometimes then it takes weeks and sometimes months to get right back. You just want to be careful that right back to our original letter that we read, watch anything that'll break your rhythm. Even if that rhythm is attending church at home and watching and then being here whenever you can, that's just one example. Rhythms and habits have always been spoken of in a negative form. Habits are good. There's incredibly wonderful habits. You should get in certain rhythms, and not just church going, but in habits of what time you pray or when you pray, or when sometimes your work schedule won't allow, you know, certain, everybody's different, but habits are good. It's a wonderful thing to get in certain habits and just train your brain and train your body and train. So get in certain habits, and we're going forward because we're straightened, right? We're in a straight. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Hallelujah, you're a great, great group of people to speak to, and all those that are watching. We love you so much. Father, thank you because we have great anticipation. We are straightened in our call, and God is asking more, but it doesn't matter because we feel more grace. And when, Lord, you're dangling something in front of us, and it's just the souls of men, we're happy about knowing that, Lord, our borders will be enlarged and great things are in store for us as a body to inherit the kingdom of God in fullness. And Lord, we bless this group. We ask you to bless them, bless their those that are driving a distance. And God, we thank you that you're blessing their finances and you're blessing them physically. We bless. Remind them to pray, Lord, and to bless people all through the week. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, set your clocks forward on Saturday. Amen.